if you've been forgiven.
Yeah, turn the page. Oh, from. Did that seem too long? It might be. Okay, I'm trying to make it like that. Because it could either be there, if you've been, or we wait another measure. I think I might be waiting too long.
Okay, Josh, am I on? Thank you, sir. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to Ouray Christian Fellowship. It's a great time to be together, and I just want to make an announcement. First, my name is Andre Rosto. I'm an elder here at OCF, and so Pastor Scott is away at a conference, and he really would like to personally apologize that he can't be here to all our visitors. Who are here. He's here in spirit, and he just says, sorry, he can't be here, but this was scheduled a long time ago, and so his heart goes out to you. But he will be here next Sunday, so if you want to come again next Sunday, you can meet him, and he's a far better speaker than myself, so I'll give him that plug. So let me open up in prayer today. Lord, Father God, I pray for the one who preaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. May the people see Jesus in him only, and may your name forever be praised. So we have a scripture reading this morning, and we are reading from Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. Now this is a great miracle that Jesus performed, and this was right after the feeding of 5,000, where he fed 5,000 with just two fishes and two loaves of bread. And so may we hear the inspired word of the living God. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when that evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So our topic today is school days. That's what we're talking about today, school days. So I'd like to start out with a little bit of truth. So everything in this physical, material world and every incident that takes place in it is an illustration of spiritual and eternal truth. Most people don't know that. Most people blindly walk through this world, blind to the thousands of spiritual truths that they pass every day. One of those spiritual truths is found in Romans 1, verse 20, where it says, the things that are created point to the Creator. And we walk by and we see the animals, people, the earth, the galaxies, cosmos, solar systems. That points to a spiritual truth. So that's what we're talking about. And so, and here's another illustration. So if we see something, like say there's a tool or something created by man that's on the piano, but we don't know what it is. What is that, we say? Well, if we don't know what it is, we don't know what it's for. And if we don't know what it's for, we don't know what to do with it. Remember, Barry told me a story. It was a long time ago going to California, and his axle went out on his truck. Right, Barry? So I can see him going to an auto parts store. They have tools for rent. He'd look up on the shelf, and he'd know what it is. That's a bearing puller. He knows what it's for. It's to take the bearing off of the axle. And so he knows what to do with it. That's one of those illustrations. And so that really comes to life. We need to know what life is if we're going to know what it's for and what to do with life. So the thing is about life, you've got probably about 100 or more different illustrations and definitions. So life is a bowl of cherries. Ever, anybody ever heard that one before? Right? Life is a veil of tears. Life is a stage, and all the men and women merely players who strut their parts. Life is full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Life is a carousel. So grab all the gusto you can, because you only go around once. So there's so many definitions. But as believers, we have one definition for us. Life is a school, the school of life. That's what really the definition of life is. Life is a school. And we read in Proverbs 1, as far as schooling, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in this school, Christ is the great teacher. So his disciples were actually his first students. So did you know that in the Greek, disciple comes from the word matetes, or marites, meaning learner or pupil. So the disciples were Jesus' first students. And as a matter of fact, many times they called Jesus teacher. Teacher, show us this. Why, teacher? Why is this? So this school that believers know that we are in, it's really an incredible, fantastic school. We have one teacher. Not a civics teacher, math teacher, English teacher, history teacher, substitute teacher, college professor, whatever. We have one teacher, Jesus Christ. And we have one lesson to be learned. That's it. One lesson. And the thing is, it's the same lesson in all grades. Grade school, high school, college, graduate school. Every subject, every course, every major. The same lesson to be learned. And another thing, on every test that we go through in the school, there's one answer. The same answer, one answer. You say, that seems like simple. Yeah, it's simple, but it's not easy. And so, you know, some of you are thinking, school, man, I thought I was done with school. You know, I'm thinking, I'm looking forward to a 60 or 70 year recess. But no, school is continuing. So in every course, every discipline, every subject, every test, same answer. Now, what is that answer, you think? Be nice to know. Answer on every test you're going to take. The answer is when Jesus says, trust me. That's the answer. Trust me. And so, in Proverbs, we read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, in this school, like many other schools, we have elective courses and required courses. The elective courses, we charge in and do what we're going to do. We're going to figure out on our own, and we take the selective course. The problem is, we get into it, the answer, it's tough to find out. You know, we learn the hard way. We learn the hard way. What the answer is to trust Jesus. And so, as a matter of fact, you know, people say, I'm going to do this course. I have a car to sell, and I'm going to sell to somebody. But I'm not going to tell them that it doesn't start on cold mornings. That's their own way, right? So it's sort of like going, you know, to a course, how to lean on your own understanding. That's the name of the course. Ask Harlan, say, hey, Harlan, I'm thinking about taking Do Not Lean on Your Own Understanding. It's worth 3 credit hours. Harlan says, yeah, I took that last semester. It's pretty good, but not what I expected. It was a tough learning experience. So on some other courses are required courses, and it's what we read. The disciples were in a course. It's called STORMS, required course. Every one of us has taken that course semesters ago or are in that course right now. Or are going to be storms required. Can't avoid it. Part of life. So the disciples, they were in Storms 201. Now, a while back, they've already taken Storms 101. What was Storms 101? Back in Mark chapter 4, when they were also in the boat in a storm. But 101, it was daytime. Sun was out, and Jesus was in the boat. Storms 201, it's the middle of the night, it's dark. Jesus was with him. And so we have them in the boat in a storm, and they've been there for a while, because it says fourth watch. Jesus came walking in the water, fourth watch. What's the fourth watch? 6 to 9, first watch. 9 to midnight, second, midnight to 3, 3 to 6, fourth watch, 3 in the morning or later, it's dark out. And it says they left in the evening. They've been battling this storm for a long time, and the winds were contrary. And they're trying to get the bow into the wind, but the waves are coming the other side. They're trying to make sure that the rigging is holding. They're bailing the boat. They're being tossed around. And this is not just for a short time. Why do you leave him there like that for that long? You abandoned him? So why do all of these extremist situations take place on the ocean? Because things change quickly, real quickly. Remember my Navy days, I remember going up to the flight deck, manning up the jet, getting ready to go on a mission, launching on that mission. It was a beautiful day. Sun was shining, seas were calm. 2 or 3 hours later, coming back from the mission, back to land on the boat. Cloudy, overcast, rain, seas were white. As I come circling around to land, prepared, gear down, everything else, I look at the ship, I'm looking at where I gotta be, parameters, and something's off. I'm looking at the stern of the ship, and I see its propellers out of the water. They're turning, and they're not even in the water. 1,000-foot ship that's pitching and yawing and heaving. I gotta land on it, middle of the ocean, nowhere else to go. So anyway, things change quickly. So in our own situation, things are looking good. Everything is fine. It's a blessing. And all of a sudden, we have a storm. And it comes quickly. Things change with our family, sometimes with our kids, grown kids, that they choose not to be believers. Or maybe grandkids or other issues. Or we go to the doctor and we get a blood test and it's not what we want to hear, the diagnosis. We have friends or death in the family or other issue. We have a business we're about to lose or financial troubles. So many different storms that can come up. And so we think, is this purposeful? But we look back at Storms 201. Jesus didn't just say, okay, do what you want. He said, he constrained them. He constrained the disciples. Here, get in the boat. Do this. Do we think, did he not know? Jesus isn't the weatherman. Jesus is the weather producer. He knew. He knew. And so we ask, Lord, why'd you let this happen? The disciples probably asked that. They were there for a long time when he finally came to them. Why? You know why? Storms 201, final exams. That's why. Answer the question. And Peter, he knew. He went out. But it was the things of the world, the storms, the seas, that got his attention. And so initially, I would think, he wrote out the answer. Trust. Trust Jesus. And as he walked forward and he got distracted, he was probably, oh, erase that. Scratch it out. Oh, no, it's not that. It's the things of this world that are getting to me. So I'd like to think that maybe you got a C-. Initially, he knew, you know. So, and that's the thing about trust. Jesus said, why give little faith? But trust and faith work together. Think about it. If you don't trust somebody, can you say you have faith in it? No. And so that's really the crux of it, is to have that answer to that question. When things happen, when storms come, we trust in Jesus. We trust in Jesus that he is who he says he is. Before Abraham was, he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's Emmanuel, God with us. We trust him in that. We trust him when he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you. We trust him that's what he means. We trust him when he says, in this world, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. We trust that. We trust when he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. So we look at Peter, and he didn't get that answer fully right, or he scribbled it out. And later on, he denied Christ three times. But Peter ended up graduating magna cum laude because he knew the answer. He died a martyr's death. And so that's our hope in this school, that we learn the answer to every question of life, because we also want to be magna cum laude. What is magna cum laude? With much praise. And that's what we want to hear. As a believer has the end of life, they know that they have victory. They know that they are graduating magna cum laude. And so that is our hope, that we have that. That Christ will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or "Well done, good and faithful student." Anyway, so let me close in prayer. Lord, Father God, we just give you thanks that you're in control and that you know what is required. Our courses are required, storms. We ask your help, that you give us strength to weather those storms, Lord, and to just know the answer is to trust you. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.